Do you have your Bibles? Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. And we're going to look particularly at verse 7 and 8. The title that I want to talk about for today is The Noblest Purpose. What is the most noble purpose that we can have? Now, these are the last words of Jesus. If somebody gives you the last words, are those important words? Are they words that you want to hear and you want to remember? Jesus is getting ready to leave his disciples. He's going to leave them for 2,000 years till he comes again. And these words are going to be what they will take to the ends of the earth. This is what charges, invigorates the Christian church to become what it is. Without this commission, you would not be here today. I would not be here today. So these are powerful words that have affected every one of our lives. And they're still as powerful today as they were when Jesus spoke them. Looking at verse 7, and he said to them, answering their question about the kingdom of God, they had some misconceptions about Bible prophecy, misunderstandings. They thought the kingdom was going to be put up with Israel on the earth at that point. Well, certainly the kingdom of God is coming back on this earth. I want to say hallelujah to that, don't you? Well, don't we all want to say that? But they had just not got that really clear. They would get it clear. Book of Revelation would get it clear. But Jesus, I don't want you to focus on that. Here's what I want you to focus on. Verse 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. The first and most important thing is that the church has to be endowed with the power of the Holy Spirit. And each one of us needs to be endowed with the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is like water to a plant. If there is a church that doesn't speak a lot about the Holy Spirit, oh, they don't, maybe they acknowledge the Holy Spirit, but he's not the center. He's not talked about. He's not desired. He's not prayed for. Then the water dries up and the plant called the church begins to shrivel. But when the Holy Spirit is the item on the high agenda of each of our lives, then the Holy Spirit begins to come back and the church becomes green and powerful and bears fruit. The Holy Spirit is the first thing that we need to focus on. That's the first thing that Jesus gives us. But you shall receive power. You know, the world today, everybody wants power, don't they? You noticed? Everybody wants power. But you know, I don't want power. As Christians, we don't want power. What we want is for the Lord to have the power of His love flowing through us. By the way, I want to say this. The power of the early church was the power of its love. They really loved each other. And they really loved the world around them. And they were irresistible. The power of unselfish love is the most powerful force in the universe. And you can only get that if you get it from Jesus. He's the only one who can bring that kind of power into our lives. We don't naturally have it. And the Holy Spirit brings that into our lives. You shall receive power. And you shall be witnesses. Witnesses. You know, and please don't misunderstand me. I hope that every one of you can explain the 2300 days. You should. I want to encourage you to do that, to be able to do that in a Bible study. So don't misunderstand what I'm going to say. Or many other more complicated things. But we all can be God's witness. And what does it mean to be God's witness? It means that you have a story to tell about what Jesus has done for you, how He's changed your heart, how He's forgiven your sins, how He's helped you on this journey, and when you've slipped and fell and those kinds of things, how He's picked you up, dusted you off, and strengthened you. You should have a story. We should have a story to tell, a witness of what Jesus has done and is doing in our lives. That's what it means to be His witness. And by the way, I don't think I've ever had anybody turn down my witness. And I've talked to, I don't know how many people, all kinds of walks of life. But if I say to someone, you know, I need to tell you in the course of the conversation, I want to tell you what Jesus has done for me. I'm telling you, people will listen to that. They are ready to listen to it. Because people are hungry today for Jesus to do something for them. People have great needs today. The needs of the world haven't gotten less. The needs of the world have gotten greater. And the more Satan's temptations, the more weak we are, the long way we are from the creation, we need to be able to hear people talk to us about their witness. You shall be witnesses for me. Yeah, just think for just a moment about some of the witnesses that Jesus had. Have a list of some of them here. Galilean fishermen who had spent their lives with muscles like iron, pulling nets out of the Lake of Galilee, the Sea of Galilee. But they were not learned. They were not schooled. They didn't have the opportunity to go down to the rabbis and sit at their feet. But they, these rugged fishermen, they became powerful witnesses of the Lord Jesus, because they could tell people what Jesus had done for them. And then think about the tax collectors. I know of at least two, Matthew and Zacchaeus. Both of them became mighty witnesses for the Lord Jesus. And then there are the zealots. You know, those guys wanted to overthrow Rome. They wanted to bring it down. But when they came into contact with Jesus and Jesus changed their life, these zealots, what should I call enthusiasts? Not a good enough word, but almost fanatical. They became mighty witnesses for the Lord Jesus. And then there's the Samaritan woman who had five husbands. She becomes a mighty witness for the Lord Jesus. And then there's Nicodemus. Now, he's a scholar. He's got, I don't know how many PhDs behind his name. I'm just using that as an example. But he's a smart, wise, wealthy man. There are some records that tell us that he could have kept the city of Jerusalem fed for 15 years. They had that kind of wealth. But this wealthy man became a witness for the Lord Jesus. And then there's Mary Magdalene, kind of a checkered history. Mary Magdalene, out of whom Jesus cast seven devils, maybe seven different times. But this woman becomes a witness for the Lord Jesus. And then there's the Roman centurion that crucified Christ, declares, "This is the Son of God." And then, of course, there's synagogue rulers and all kinds of other people. I'm just telling you that because Jesus calls every one of us, no matter what our age, no matter what our walk is in life, He calls every one of us to be His witness under the power of the Holy Spirit. Because we cannot do this without the Holy Spirit. This is Acts of the Apostles, that wonderful commentary on the book Acts of the Apostles and the Scripture. And this is what it says. It says the church is God's appointed agency for the salvation of men. Why does the church exist? Now, please don't get me wrong. Do we find friends in church? Yes, hallelujah. When we bring people into the church, do they need friends in church? And the answer is yes. But the church isn't organized for a social club. The church isn't organized it doesn't exist just to make us happy and to have nice worship services and beautiful Christmas programs. If you miss that Christmas program they organized on Christmas Eve, it's not organized for that. It's not why it exists. Those are things that are good, but it's not why it exists. The church is God's appointed agency for the salvation of men. Generic. Men, women, young people. We get to the Easter time, the resurrection time, and people will be talking about the passion of Christ. And they don't even know what they're talking about. They don't know what they mean when they say the passion of Christ. Let me tell you what the passion of Jesus was. The passion of Jesus, He went to the cross with all of its agony and difficulty and separation from His Father and the darkness and everything that He experienced there. He went to the cross to save men and women. That was the bottom line. That's why He went. Goes on to say, it was organized for service. You know, the early Adventists, they weren't sure where they wanted to organize or not. But we had light from heaven telling us, organize. And the reason is because organization can bring both blessings and it can bring challenges. But let me say this. organization is life. You either organize or die. Just look at your own body. Your body stays alive as long as it stays organized. But if it becomes unorganized, it dies. It was organized for service, and its mission is to carry the gospel to the world. That is our mission. Our mission isn't just to have a wonderful, pleasant time for nice people. Our mission is not Pathfinders as much as we love Pathfinders. Our mission isn't the church school as much as we love our church school. Those things in and of itself exist to win souls. That's why we have a church school. That's why we have Pathfinders. That's why we have a seminary. That's why we have our universities. That's why we have colleges. Those colleges exist for one thing. Hear me out. They exist for one thing: to take architects and turn them into missionaries. To take nurses and train them into missionaries. To take whatever word you want to put in there and turn them into missionaries. That's why they exist. They don't exist simply to have Adventist parents to say, okay, my kid's got a career now and can have a nice job. No, they exist to win souls. And that's why this church exists. It exists for no other reason than to win souls. And when we lose sight of that, we lose sight of our purpose. And all other kinds of things flow into that. Now continue that quote. The church will manifest to the world and to the universe, quote, the final and full display of the love of God. By the way, the great controversy can be boiled down to this. It can be boiled down to this. The great controversy is over selfishness versus unselfish love. It all boils down to that. Satan's rebellion was all about his selfishness. He's carried that into the world. And all of us know what that has guided us. But Jesus is all about unselfish love, and that's what took him to the cross. So yes, we have an end time message. I praise the Lord for keep the commandments of God and the testimony of Jesus. That is our end time message. Our end time message is to tell the world, look, Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming in glory. And you got to be ready. That's urgent. And how do people get ready for the coming of Jesus? They get ready by giving their hearts to Christ and becoming endowed, endued, imbued with unselfish love. Yes, we must speak the truth about the Sabbath. We must speak the truth about, but you cannot separate the Sabbath and the commandments from the love of God. You cannot do that. You cannot take our message and make it a theory and then not have the love of God. If we're going to win souls, the love of God's got to drive us. The scripture says it constrains us, or it moves us, or it directs us. It's at the very essence of who we are as Christians. It's not a wuzzy-fuzzy thing. It's a powerful principle of righteousness and goodness. Acts of the Apostles, page 48, said this about the early disciples. One interest prevailed. How many interests? One subject of emulation swallowed up all others. How many subjects? The ambition of the believers was to reveal the likeness of Christ's character and to labor for the enlargement of His kingdom. That is the noblest purpose. Take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 9, if you don't mind. Matthew chapter 9, and I'm looking at, starting with verse 35. And notice how Jesus goes here. Matthew chapter 9, looking at verse 35. Then Jesus went about all the cities, villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Verse 36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with what? Compassion. My brothers and sisters, doesn't it move you to compassion? Now don't get me wrong. We sit here in a, well, there's a lot of Adventists, and that can be true said about some a lot of other places. But I'm telling you, you don't have to go far from here to find multitudes and multitudes of people that don't know their right hand from their left. There are Ninevehs not far from here. Our world today is suffering. And I sometimes wonder, how is it that we built a kingdom here or there or wherever? Maybe God's calling you to move somewhere else where there's no Adventist. Maybe God's calling you to say, look, where's their place that they don't have any knowledge of the truth? Maybe God is driving you with compassion out of your comfort zone. I'm telling you, you don't have to go far to find it. People don't know their right hand from their left. I know some of you are saying, preacher, quit preaching now and go into meddling. But I'm telling you that before Jesus comes, the world is going to be lightened with the glory of the third angel's message. God is going to have people to do it. He's going to have people to do it in places that they don't know their right hand from the left. I mean, I would much rather, I'm here because Jesus sent me here right now. But what I want to be is out there where they've never heard it. I want to be there where talking to people that need to hear it. And I want us to be focused on that. Listen, we've got to be passionate about the lost. We've got to be passionate about getting the message out. Jesus went on to say this in verse 37. He said to his disciples, the harvest is truly plentiful, but the laborers are what? The problem is not harvest. The harvest is ripe. And if you go back and look at ancient times and how they gathered their harvests in, I've got some friends of mine that have some boys, and they live next door to these big farm fields, and they love to get in with those farmers and ride those big combines. But it wasn't like that in Jesus' day. It took a lot of labor to take a sickle, cut that down, to gather it into sheaves, to beat it out. It's a lot of work. When that harvest is ripe, you've got to be at it. And then Jesus said this, therefore, because the laborers are few, laborers like Jesus, laborers that were described here earlier like Jesus, therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Pray and plead with God. Beg. Persist. Lord, you've got to send laborers out. Got to have laborers into the harvest. Listen, Jesus, I believe, is coming soon. And the harvest is there. We've got to somehow, by the grace of God, win those. Now, what I want to do today, and I want to thank the Personal Ministries Department, they want us to focus on today. They want us to focus on praying for souls. That's why we gave you those yellow cards. You've got one in your bulletin if you didn't already fill it out. I want you to take it out right now. And I want you to say, Lord, who do you, don't worry about the flags. That's just so the prayer leaders will know where to go. Lord Jesus, who do I intercede for this year? Who do I pray for? Is it a mother? Is it a father? Is it a brother, a sister, a husband, a wife? Is it a child that I have? Is it a good friend that I have? Is it a neighbor? Is there somebody? Lord, there's got to be somebody you lay on my heart. And I want to make that a prayer focus for this year. And then I'm going to be praying every day. Lord, somehow you've got to break through. And I'm telling you, God will begin to break through. You may say, well, they're prejudiced. And I don't have time. And I can't tell you the stories because it'd be too, I just can't do it. But I can tell you this, that when you begin to pray, God knows how to bring walls of prejudice down. When you begin to pray and intercede for people, God knows how to open doors. I've seen Him do it over and over again. I was out in the Pacific Northwest one time, and I had a guy that we had talked back and forth, and he was evangelical, bless his heart, and we love evangelicals, but he was just certainly, you know, that Galatians had given him freedom from not having to keep God's commandments and so forth, and he just didn't want anything else to do, and basically didn't really want to continue studying it. I kept praying for that guy. It's not about me. I'm just using it as an example. I kept praying for the guy. I kept pleading with God. I said, God, open the door so that I can study Galatians with him. I want you to know, I walked by one day, and he's standing out there, and I walked up and started talking to him just a moment. He says, you know, I need to study Galatians. Well, where did that come from? That come from the Lord. Listen, the Lord is ready to do for us amazing things, the likes of which we've never seen before. But we've got to be willing to intercede. And you don't give up. When you put those people in your prayer list, you don't give up. And when you pray earnestly, you pray persistently, and you pray fervently, and pour out your heart, and don't do it lackadaisical. And we need to be doing it every day by the grace of God. So I want you to write, if you've got one name, then you've got one name. If you've got five names, you've got five names. That's fine. And you don't have to put their actual name if you don't want to. You can put the initials or whatever. You can read the little card there. But we're going to gather in groups here in just a few minutes. We have prayer leaders, and they are going to spend some time. You're going to have those cards. You'll be able to share those cards. And then you're going to spend some time praying this day, praying for those precious souls. And so I'm going to ask, they've got the, I think they've got the flags up. Prayer leaders, you see the flags, you know where you need to go. So I'm going to ask the prayer leaders to go right there. They're going to come, they're going to kind of pull them close to you, and they're going to ask you to share your prayer request. And they've got a box for you to put those in. And then when we're all done, they're going to bring them up here, and we're going to have a church prayer over all of these, and the personal ministry department wants to keep these names because they've got events coming up during the year that they want to keep praying over these names. So if you will, prayer leaders, if you'll take your places right now, gather folk close to you, and just spend some time going over those names and then praying together, claiming God's promises, and then we're going to bring them up here, have a dedicatory prayer. It's a wonderful thing to look at this group, these boxes, knowing that they are filled with hundreds of names. Hundreds of names that we're going to be praying for this year. You're going to be praying for. We're going to be lifting them up to the Lord every day, saying, Lord, open the door here. Make a way here. Help us to win this soul for you. Help us to see great changes in their lives. That's what this is all about, and that's what these names represent. So as a church family, we're going to lift all of these up to the Lord in prayer. And I know that the personal ministries department, they're going to have events. They're going to be praying over these names throughout the year as well. But individually, we're each one going to be praying every day by the grace of God. Every day, we're going to be praying over those names and believing that God will work. And just because you don't see God work doesn't mean He's not working. He's working when you don't see Him. And He is ready to work. So I just am grateful for your participation today, for your prayers, your willingness. And we're going to have a dedicatory prayer over these names. Then we're going to sing the closing song, and we'll have the benediction. And the closing song is, Oh, Where Are the Reapers? It's a wonderful song. I love that song. All right, let's bow our heads. Our precious, glorious Heavenly Father, who loved us so much, that you sent Christ to Calvary's cross so you wouldn't lose us. Father, we don't understand everything about prayer, but we know it empowers heaven. It somehow gives you right of passage against the devil and his evil angels to win these souls, Lord. And we pray, Father, that everyone that's written down a name here, they take that so serious, so dedicate themselves to praying every day, and then looking for opportunities to reach that person, asking you, Heavenly Father, to open doors for them to make it possible to study the scriptures with them, to tell them what Jesus has done for them, how he's changed their lives. So, Father, these are names we've written down. Heaven has recorded all of this. And we believe that you're going to hear our prayers. Lord, would you please send the Holy Spirit on each one of us? Would you please send the Holy Spirit as we pray? The Holy Spirit who with groanings that cannot be uttered intercedes for us and for these precious ones. May we intercede like the Holy Spirit intercedes with an urgency, with an earnestness, with a persistence that will not give up. Until we see, Heavenly Father, you begin to break the clods and the hearts and begin to draw people to yourself. Lord, make us that nail upon the wall, holding that picture of Christ in its place. A picture so persuasive, so irresistible, so magnetic that we just cannot, people cannot resist being drawn, not to us, but to him. Not to the nail, but to his picture and his goodness and his love. Thank you, Lord, for this church. Thank you for the participation this morning. We dedicate these names. We dedicate ourselves to you. And we believe that you're going to hear and answer our prayers. In the name of Jesus, amen. All right, we want to strike up that wonderful song. Oh, where are the reapers?
Please stand with us.
Heavenly Father, as we close this meeting today, pray that we will leave here hearing those words sound in our ears. Oh, where are the reapers? Where are the reapers? And plead, Lord, that you will put reapers into the harvest, and that when we hear it, oh, where are the reapers, that we will respond, Lord, here I am. Send me. Take my heart, take my life, send me. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. free listing of this message and over 7,000 other presentations by more than 100 speakers on 50 different topics is now available on our American Christian Ministries mobile app for Android and Apple devices, and on our secure website, or call 800-233-4450. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help to prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.